proud to present actor, author, comedian, and spoiler of women, Mr. Woody Allen.
Really, I
don't know what I'm going to do, because the guy before me did everything that I was going to do, so. My hair curls up on the West Coast. It's amazing. You know? Straight in New York. It falls in flaxen locks. Oh, that's interesting. I think I will review for you some of the outstanding features of my private life and put them in perspective. And then we'll have a brief question and answer period and evaluate them. Now, let me start at the very beginning. I did a vodka ad. That's the first important thing. A big vodka company wanted to do a prestige ad. And they wanted to get Noel Coward originally for it, but he was not available. He had acquired the rights to My Fair Lady, and he was removing the music and lyrics and make it back into Pygmalion. And they tried to get Laurence Olivier and Hallie Loki, you know, and they finally got me to do the, I tell you, they got my name. It was on a list in Eichmann's pocket when they picked him up. And I'm sitting home one night, I'm watching television. I'm watching a special version of Peter Pan on television, starring Kate Smith, you know? And having trouble flying her, because the chains keep breaking all the time, you know? And the phone rings, and a voice on the other end says, "How would you like to be this year's vodka man?" And I said, "No. I'm an artist. I do not do commercials. I don't panda. I don't drink vodka. And if I did, I wouldn't drink your product." And he said, "Too bad. It pays $50,000. And I said, "Hold on. I'll put Mr. Allen on the phone." And I was caught here in an ethical crisis. Should I advertise a product that I don't actually use is the problem, because I'm not a drinker. My body will not tolerate spirits, really. I had two martinis New Year's Eve, and I tried to hijack an elevator and fly it to Cuba. And in the past, whenever I had any sort of emotional problem, I used to consult with my analyst all the time. This is public knowledge. I was in analysis for years because of a traumatic childhood I had when I was younger. I was breastfed from falsies. It scarred me emotionally, you know. I was in a strict Freudian analysis for a long time. My analyst died 2 years ago, and I never realized it. And now, whenever I have any sort of problem, I consult with my spiritual counselor, who in my case is my rabbi. And I called him up on the phone. I laid the proposition on him. And he said, "Don't do it, because it's illegal and immoral to advertise a product that you don't use just for the money." And I said, okay, and I passed the ad up. And I must say, it took great courage at the time, because I needed the money. I was writing, and I needed to be freed creatively. I was working on a nonfiction version of the Warren Report, you know? I just passed the ad up. I was really adorable. And a month later, I'm leafing through Life magazine, and I see a photograph of Monique Van Vooren in a slim bikini bathing suit, and she's on the beach in Jamaica. And there, next to her, with a cool vodka in his hand, was my rabbi. So I call him up on the phone, you know, and he puts me on hold. And what happened is he wanted to go into show business. He had done a late night prayer on television, and he was in the middle of the 23rd Psalm, and he tried to ad-lib, you know. He tried to name the Ten Commandments, and he couldn't think of them quickly enough. Instead, he named the Seven Dwarfs. He's got a discotheque now with his colleagues. They have topless rabbis, you know? No skull cap on. Now, in addition to my vodka ad, I also played Las Vegas for the first time. Listen, I'm not a gambler. You should know that about me, too. I went to the racetrack once in my life, and I bet on a horse called Battle Gun. And all the horses come out, and mine is the only horse in the race with training wheels. You know? And you have to believe me when I tell you this. There is something seductive about me when I shoot crap. And I'm at the crap table, and I'm dicing. And a very provocative woman comes up to me, and she begins to size me up. I take her upstairs to my hotel room, shut the door, remove my glasses, show her no mercy. I unbutton my shirt, and she unbuttons her shirt. And I smile, and she smiles. And I remove my shirt, and she removes her shirt. And I wink. And she winks. And I remove my pants. And she removes her pants. And I realize I'm looking into a mirror. I don't want to go into details, but I was pulling glass out of my legs for 2 weeks. That was the best I ever had, I must say. Which I think brings me to my main conclusion here, and that is that I got married. That's the biggest thing that happened to me over the last... Yeah, I got married for the second time, incidentally. I should have known something was wrong with my first wife. When I brought her home to meet my parents, they approved of her, you know? But my dog died, is what happened. I gotta be careful what I say about her publicly, you know, because she's suing me. I don't know if you read that in the paper or not, but... I'm getting sued because I made a nasty remark about her, and she didn't like it. She lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and she was coming home late at night, and she was violated. That's how they put it in the New York paper. She was violated. And they asked me to comment on it. And I said, knowing my ex-wife, it probably was not a moving violation. She sued me, you know. I'm sitting home and a process server comes and gives me a summons and I tip him. Let me tell you how I met my second wife, which is really romantic. I read an article in Life magazine saying there was a sexual revolution going on college campuses all over the country. And I re-registered at New York University to check it out. Because I used to go there years ago. I was a history of hygiene major at NYU. And I was thrown out of college. And when I was thrown out, I got a job. My father had a grocery store on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. And he hired me to work for him. I was a delivery boy for my father. It was the first job. And I unionized the workers. And we struck and drove him out of business. And he's always been touchy about it. Now, when I went back to school, suddenly everybody wanted to fix me up with women. And I have had a very bad history with blind dates, really. It's embarrassing to be sitting at the store club and have your date arrested by Israeli agents, you know? And it's my fault, because I'm immature to this day with women, because Because my parents did not love me when I was younger. They bronzed my baby shoes with my feet still in them, you know? And I've grown up. It's strange. But you must not misunderstand me. I believe that sex is a beautiful thing between two people. Between five, it's fantastic. And I was very depressed about that for a long time. I was going to kill myself. But as I said, I was in a strict Freudian analysis. And if you kill yourself, they make you pay for the sessions you miss. So I accept this date. First blind date in years. I go to a four-floor walk-up. And I knock on the door, and this girl comes to the door, and she is absolutely beautiful, but really terrific. Great long blonde hair, and a short skirt, and boots, and a sleeveless jersey, and she's packed into it. And when I see a girl that beautiful, I want to cry, or write a poem, jump on her. I'm very sensitive, you know? And she asked me what I want to do, and I am not a swinger. My idea of a big evening is to go down to the corner rotisserie mat and watch the chickens revolve, you know? I take her to a party on McDougal Street in Greenwich Village. We go into a smoke-filled room. There's a lot of young kids dancing to Dirksen records. The host had on red velvet pants. He had a change of sex operation 6 times. He couldn't come up with anything he liked. Next to him, a little adorable blonde girl who is knocking ashes from her banana on the floor. And I do not use, you should know this about me too, any sort of consciousness-expanding material. My body will not tolerate that. I took a puff of the wrong cigarette at a fraternity dance once. The cops had to get me, you know. I broke 2 teeth trying to give a hickey to the Statue of Liberty. The party begins to move downstairs, now onto the street, and everybody's playing bongos and guitars, and a cop on horseback comes up to me, and he puts his arm around me. He says to me, "Are you one of those draft card burners?" Immediately, and I said, "No, I'm not. I never registered. I don't have a draft card." Meanwhile, the little girl feeds what looks like a cube of sugar to the policeman's horse. The horse showed up at a sit-in in Georgia. I decide to strike. I get my date, and I jam her in my Hertz. I have a rented car, which is a flat rate and 12 cents a mile. And in an effort to cut down on the mileage charge, I back up every place. So I'm backing over the George Washington Bridge. And a cop stops me. And he says, "Let me see your driver's license." And I'm not going to let him, you know. And I say, "I can't hear you, officer." He leans his head into the car. I give him a big, wet kiss. He took his nightstick. I don't know how to explain this to you. Can you picture? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I get my date back to her apartment. And the two of us are alone, and we are going pretty good. I have to explain this very delicately, because it's really tentative. As I am an inordinately passionate man, volatile, sensual. In general, a stud.
Thank you.
She wants me. It's a very delicate thing what I'm discussing here. A stud. When making love, in an effort to prolong the moment of ecstasy, I think of baseball players. All right, now you know. Now the two of us are making love violently, and she's digging it. I figure I better start thinking of ball players quickly. So if he gets one out in the ninth, the Giants are up. Mays lines a single to right. He takes second on a wild pitch. Now she's digging her nails into my neck. I decide to pinch hit for McCovey. A Lou pops out. Haller singles, Mays holds third. Now I got a first and third situation. Two out, the Giants are behind one run. I don't know whether to squeeze or steal. She's been in the shower for 10 minutes already. I can't tell you anymore. This is too personal. The Giants won. That's the man. And I married the girl, incidentally, and had a very good wedding, I would say. Except for my father, who squatted down and did one of those Russian dances, and he tore a leg muscle and froze in that position, you know? Walked down the aisle like that, you know?